welcome to episode number 2 of the Paid Traffic Show. We've got a couple of new additions on this episode. I am really excited to introduce Sophia.
Hi, guys.
Sophia's going to be asking all the questions today for myself, and we got Mark Petrie coming to you from Los Angeles. How are you today, Mark?
Doing well, Bill. Thanks, man.
Awesome.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here as well. Thanks for being so energetic. Have you gotten a cup of Joe out there yet? I know it's like still AM, but I mean, let's get fired up here, Mark. I mean, we got some good paid traffic shit to go over today.
Yeah, I haven't had my noon cup of coffee yet, so need to get on that.
Awesome. So we have one other really new cool feature. You can see the countdown timer in the bottom left-hand of the screen. This is a 30-minute show, so this intro is going to take 45 seconds. That means we're done with the intro, so we're going to bounce right over to Sophia. Sophia, what do you got on tap for us today?
All right. Well, first off, Bill, you need to talk about your top 3 mistakes that businesses make with their paid traffic. So what would you say is the number one mistake?
I would say the number one mistake that I see with people, and it happens in Google ads, it also happens in Facebook ads, and even people that are paying to run banner ads, is that they're sending all of their traffic to their homepage, Sophia. Mm-hmm. And I think Mark will probably back me up on this. I'm a little bit distracted, Mark. You got a little shine going on there. You didn't go into the makeup room today? Did you hit the makeup room today?
No.
Okay, what's there you go. On? Got it. I'm just messing with you, Mark. I love you dearly. Just trying to be a little funny, add a little comedy to the paid traffic show today. You're all good. So
I was trying to do setup.
Sending traffic to your homepage is a problem. One, because that's not going to be targeted to the ad copy that you have in a Google ad. It's not going to be targeted to the offer or the creative that you have inside of Facebook ads, because everybody's homepage is very generic. So really what you need to do is, for each individual campaign that you are going to be deploying, you need to be sending that traffic to a custom sales page. There's a reason that we recommend using lead pages or Unbounce or Instapage. I know we're partial to lead pages. Mark, I think you use Instapage, right?
Is that Unbounce. Correct?
Use Unbounce. So Mark uses Unbounce. We use lead pages. It's a tool. Both of those are great. We can create fast, quick, you know, basically A/B test. It's really, really easy for us to be able to create sales pages. So the mistake, Sophia, is don't send traffic to your homepage. Send it to a custom sales page. And if you use Unbounce or lead pages, you don't have to go to a great expense, because you don't need to pay a developer to actually code them for you.
Okay. Mark, what would you say is the number one mistake from your point of view?
So what I see the most when I do audits is my clients aren't checking their search term report. And I'm sure there's going to be a few people that watch this video that have spoken with me recently. It's key that you check your search term report. I liken it to checking your bank account, okay? I like to check my bank account almost every day to check for fraudulent charges. A search term report is the same thing. You can think of them as almost like fraudulent clicks. They're actually called irrelevant clicks. And if you like, I can show you real quick what a search term report looks like. Can we switch to my screen?
Awesome.
Very cool.
Okay, cool. So what you're looking at here is a search term report. And the column you want to focus on is this column right here where it says search term. And these are the actual queries actual people are making. These are the things they are actually Googling, okay? And so a lot of great data here. This is a really good search term report, because if I keep scrolling down, you're not going to see irrelevant terms on this report. And so these are your search terms. And then over here, you also want to see which keyword matches up with that. And so search term report, very important to be checking. You don't have to check it every day unless you're spending a couple $100 a day, then I would. But you want to be checking it every few days to make sure you're not getting irrelevant clicks.
Awesome. Mark, you got about 35 seconds left on this segment. Can you go back to how do I get to the search term report from once I log into Google Ads? Because I think I missed that part.
Of course. That's easy. So from the home screen here, you're going to go from overview. You click on keywords. And then most people stay in here. Here's your keywords. You're going to click here. This is where you guys should be in your campaign. in the search term report. You want to be checking this thing all the time.
What am I checking for, Mark? What's the number one thing I should be looking for?
Okay, competitor terms. Someone looking for your competitor. Someone looking for a service similar to what you offer. For instance, like someone looking for Super Shuttle or something, or someone looking for a taxi service. So it's close, but it's not exactly what it is you offer. And that's where most of the wasted ad spend I see goes, to these irrelevant searches. So check this out, and it should look just like the one you're seeing now. This is a good one. But even the best search term reports usually are going to have a few irrelevant clicks. You just don't want it to be 50% of the clicks are irrelevant. So
that's awesome stuff. And if you guys have any more questions about the search term report, which both Mark and I feel are extremely valuable to be checking probably once a week, Mark, would you agree with that?
Yeah,
I think that's then safe. Just leave a comment down below for Mark or I.
Perfect. Moving on to point number two. Bill, you say that the second biggest mistake is to set it and forget it. What does that mean?
I think what happens is most people write their copy, they do keyword research once, they deploy their campaign, they link it to wherever their destinational URL is going to be, and then they stop. And they just wait for the phone to ring, they wait for those click-to-calls, they wait for those form conversions on their sales page, and they're not going in and continuing to optimize. And if they do try to optimize, they're typically only looking at one thing, which is either the CTR rate or the CPC, the cost per click. And they don't know what to do next, so they kind of just give up and just let their ad campaign run. So what I think you have to do is you have to give it about 20, maybe 48 hours, depending on what your budget is. Could be up to 3 or 4 days. See what's coming in with the click. See what's happening with your impressions. Then you need to look at your click-through rate. And if you have a good click-through rate, which, Mark, what would you say a good click-through rate is in our industry? 2.8 to 3.5? 4?
I would say it really varies for, there's so many different factors, but the range is pretty huge, 4% to 20%.
Okay, so I've noticed. Let's just say 4%, right? So okay. If Mark says 4%, and it's hard to give a specific answer because it could be on the corporate side, the party bus side, for weddings, whatever that is, and it's going to vary across the board. But let's say your barometer is 4% or 5%. If you see that you're only getting 1%, you've probably got a problem with your ad copy. If you see that you're getting 15 or 20%, but yet you have no conversions, no click-to-calls on your sales page, no form conversions, then you've probably got an offer or a sales page issue that you need to do some CRO, some conversion rate optimization on your sales page. So it kind of goes back to number one, where if you're just driving traffic to the homepage of your website, really hard to do CRO, not going to be getting a lot of clean analytics. And I think Mark would agree, one of the other reasons we use individual sales pages is so we have clean analytics based on traffic that's being driven to those individual sales pages.
Very yeah, cool. 100%.
Yeah, to elaborate on that, conversions, Mark, why is it important to track them?
Well, it's the same reason it's important to track the number of leads you got to the number of sales you got. Because if you're not tracking that, you can't improve it. You need to set a baseline. Let me show you guys what it looks like when you are tracking conversions and give you an idea of approximately what your conversion rate should be. Let's switch to my screen. Okay, so as you can see, this campaign right here is tracking conversions. All you have to do, go to the overview, go to the campaigns, and this column right here, if you do not have this column, how you get to that is you click on columns here, and you go to modify columns, because this doesn't always show up. And so then you go to conversions. And what you're going to want to do is click on these three, conversions, cost per conversion, and conversion rate, hit apply, and it's going to add them to the columns over here. And so let's go back here. And what I like to see in this industry, the cost per conversion, conversions are just a lead. So that's like cost per phone call, cost per lead form you get, I like to see between $5 and $20 typically, depending on if you're in a small city or a large city. I've noticed corporate airport stuff, cost per conversion is higher. You might be spending $15, $20. If you're doing party buses in a tiny city, you might be spending $4 or $5. But it's important to know these numbers because that is the most important metric in Google Ads, is how much am I paying for a lead? Because that price should be going down over time if you're working with an agency that knows what they're doing. And cost per clicks are going up slowly and steadily. Back in 2005, clicks were 25 cents each. So over time, that will go up. But you want to be working with an agency that is trying to at least keep your cost per conversion steady, if not hopefully lowering it. So if you're spending more than that on conversions, you guys are spending too much.
So Mark, one thing before we jump off of this screen that I don't think many of our viewers probably know, if you go back to columns, as you did before, I don't know that many people know that they can customize their data that they're actually seeing here on this screen.
Yeah. So my favorite things to see are going to be clicks, cost, impressions, click-through rate. A lot of this stuff is for myself. I don't usually show it to all my clients, but if you are running your own campaign, impressions is important too, click-through rate. And then down here, in competitive metrics, this search impression share, that's going to show you what percentage of the total people that are searching for your particular keywords are actually seeing them given the time frame your campaign is running. So for instance, if you're running 6 a.m. to noon and you have a 50% search impression share, that means that only 50% of the potential people searching for what you offer are seeing your ad. How do you raise that? Well, you can raise it by raising your budget and by improving your campaign.
You know, it's pretty amazing to me, because when I show this screen to people, they kind of have this aha moment. If they're a data junkie or if they understand and that need to be making data-driven decisions, I would say 95 to 97% of the people that I discuss Google Ads with, and that's not just in the limo industry, Mark, that's in the marketing agency world as well, they don't know to go and set these data points. Scroll down a little bit. Show them call details. What does that mean?
So that's for Google's actual call tracking, which I don't recommend it. It's not very accurate, and so I actually never use it. I track all of my calls through a third-party software, and that's what I recommend you guys should all be doing as well. Because even Google's actual conversion numbers are off a little bit. Their cost per conversion, they don't track everything. So that's something to keep in mind.
I agree. Cool. Good stuff, Mark.
All right. We all want to make money, right? But Bill, do you think maybe people are rushing into making a sale too soon?
I think the expectations with paid traffic of any source, any channel, that could be Facebook ads, it could be Google ads, is that on that first ad, that first interaction, whether it's a video view, whether it's a lead ad, a form that you can actually convert on inside of Facebook, clicking to a sales page, or from Google, going to sales page, click to call, is that the buyer is always ready to convert, that they're ready to purchase on the first touch point. There couldn't be further from the truth by any means. So, you know, as Mark and I talked about in episode number one, and you hear me talk about a lot, you know, this is really like dating. And if you don't have a brand recognition, if you have not had a touch point, if this is cold traffic to where they have no relationship with you at all, then you really can't expect them to buy, because they're at what we call the top of the funnel at this point. And the top of the funnel means that we are in the awareness phase of the buyer's journey or the sales funnel. We are looking to make, not to make decisions, but we're looking for information, Sophia, to be able to move us to the second stage of the funnel, which is really where we are looking for solutions to our problem. So in that top phase, as Mark said in the past, I'm clicking on ad number one. and you know, I'm going to fill out the form to get more information, or I'm going to fill out the live chat or have a conversation with somebody or call. But then as soon as I get off that phone, or I get done with the live chat, or I fill out that form, boom, I'm back to my search result, and I'm clicking on ad number two or organic result number one, depending on the search engine results page that's rendered to me. And I'm going to do that 3 or 4 times in that awareness phase to see what company has that, you know, Bing Crosby silver cloud white Rolls Royce for my upcoming wedding. Excuse me. So now that I've identified that 2 of those 3 or 4 companies has that white Rolls Royce, now I want to find out, okay, what type of packages do they offer? What is their pricing? Somebody might be charging me $600 flat rate to take me from my ceremony to the reception. Another one might be charging me $250 an hour on a 3-hour minimum. So if I'm a price conscious buyer, I'm probably paying the $600 for that flat rate if the vehicles are the same. I may not even go and look at those vehicles. But if you can identify that I'm not a price conscious buyer and I am a value driven buyer, that's where you need to sell me on the value of the chauffeur, the vehicle, the logistics management, yada, yada, yada. Because now you're the one that's going to move me to the bottom of the funnel, which is the decision-making phase. And when you get me to the decision-making phase and you've taken me from awareness to solution-based in the middle to the bottom at the decision-making phase, you are going to win my business 90% of the time. That does not happen in 1 5-minute phone call most of the time. It doesn't happen on a first click off of an ad or on a first visit to a sales page. So we all need to slow our roll and understand the sales cycle. 20 years ago, that was controlled by us, the business owners and the salesperson. Today, that's controlled by the buyer. They control everything because they can find anything they want on this thing by doing some very simple searches, right? So we have to let them dictate their time when they're ready to buy. That means we have to do retargeting. We have to do follow-up phone calls. We need to have email funnels set up. We have to have something to have those multiple touch points. And what I see, and I can't wait for Mark to weigh in on this, the people that are winning in online marketing are the ones that are following up, that have the sales process, that are following up with email funnels, and that have retargeting on Facebook or Google. What say you, Mr. Petrie?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. I know for a fact, I don't believe any of my clients do any sort of marketing automation or really use a CRM to its fullest potential. I think most of them don't use CRMs. So just start with the smallest, easy stuff. And that is, you know, simple stuff like getting back to people quickly. Following up with a phone call after the ride has taken place to see, you know, did they enjoy the service? Was there anything that can be improved? You know, leave us a review, that sort of thing. So completely agree. And just a small improvement in your response time can greatly impact your sales. I'm not saying you have to get, you know, into Infusionsoft and all these email marketing campaigns. You don't even have to. I mean, I recommend it eventually, but if you're not even getting back to people quickly, start with that, because that will make a huge, massive difference.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, there you have it, guys. There's Bill's top 3 mistakes businesses make with paid traffic. Mark, what is your last point?
So the last thing I see all the time is broad match keywords, and I probably sound like a broken record. I know I've said this before. I can show you guys modified broad keywords look like, because I actually don't use any broad match keywords. Switch to my screen really quick.
And I just want to show. What is a broad match keyword for somebody new to the show?
The easiest way to explain a broad match keyword is, let's say your keyword is red shoe. Okay. Or actually, here, since we're looking at my screen, okay, this is a modified broad match keyword. This is telling Google that both of these words need to be in the search query. Okay. So the plus, the word next to the plus tells Google these words have to be next to this somewhere in the search query. The problem with broad match keywords is that these two words, if this was a broad match keyword, there would be no pluses here. It would just say party bus, okay? And if these, what that's going to do is it's going to trigger a ton of irrelevant searches, because if you don't have these pluses next to your keyword, or you don't have quotes around it or brackets around it, that's telling Google, hey, Google, anything that you think is anywhat related to party buses, show my ad for that search query. Okay. And this might be things like Greyhound bus schedule, trolley rentals. I've seen some really crazy stuff that you wouldn't think has anything to do with the actual keyword. And that's why you never, ever want to use a keyword without plus in front of it, quotes around it, or like this one, brackets around it. It can be very dangerous, and that's where most of the wasted spend I see comes from, is using too many broad match keywords.
All right, so if I take, you know, party bus as an example as a broad match keyword, where is that going to actually render results? What does somebody have to type in to actually see those results?
You name it, Bill. They could type in Greyhound bus schedule. I've seen that before get triggered. Okay. What else? They could
basically,
type in
basically anything, right?
Yeah. Pretty much anything to do with a bus. Like, what's the bus schedule in my town? You know, even a name of like a, let's say, U.S. Coach Works or Gretsch Motors, like stuff like that will even trigger your ad to be shown.
So what,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh no, and by the way, if your ad gets triggered and shown to people, even if it's irrelevant, they'll still click on it. Not as many people, but lots of people will still click on it. And what Bill was saying earlier with like a 1% click-through rate, your ads can contribute to that. What I've found the number one cause for a low click-through rate is too many broad match keywords, because you're getting a ton of irrelevant traffic. That's why they're not clicking on your ads, because your ads have nothing to do with what they were searching for.
Well, isn't that kind of the same thing as well? If your ads have nothing to do with what they're searching for, so if you're using broad match keywords, one, you're paying for traffic, you're paying for irrelevant traffic.
Yep.
Your click-through rate's gonna go way down. Your conversion rate on your sales page is going to be way down, because it's none of it is relevant. So that's the exact reason why you need to use broad match modifiers in your keywords and exact match, correct? So once again, if I take party bus and go from broad match and then use it in exact match, now I'm only going to see party bus when I type in party bus, right? Or San Diego party bus. As long as I have those two words exactly as they're typed, then they're going to render, correct?
Exactly.
So if you're a retail company, kind of going back to my number one, and you're trying, let's just say in San Diego, you're trying to sell San Diego party bus, you're trying to sell party buses in San Diego. Take people down to Tijuana, take them to Mission Beach, take them on wine tours in Temecula, whatever that is. If you do exact match, one, your traffic you're sending to your page is going to be way more targeted for people that are actually interested in party buses, correct?
Yep.
Then I would challenge you to look at your homepage right now and see if you believe that you would buy that party bus to one of those three locations based off what you see on the homepage of your website. I doubt it. At the very best, you have the word party bus and you show a party bus, but it's not specific, because you got limos and you do weddings and you do brewery tours and all this other stuff. So that's why you send them to the sales page for party buses only. You agree or disagree?
Yeah, 100%. I was just speaking with a client the other day. He majors in wine tours. And so we're going to build out two different pages for him. One for general stuff and then one just for wine tours. So if you have a portion of your business that you, let's say you do a lot of brewery tours, you want to have just a brewery tour page.
Right.
So
you're talking about my boy DS, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Nice. All right. What do we got? Anything? We got 5 minutes and 50 seconds left, Sophie. I know you got to keep us on time, because I end up talking a lot. Do we have anything else to cover, or are we like done?
Nope, we have two more. So, Bill, you're always walking around the office talking to clients and stuff about PhoneWagon. What is that? And
so,
did people get that?
Yeah, PhoneWagon. And Tim, if Tim can hear me out in the office, since we're in the studio, Tim's going to drop in a link to PhoneWagon that he'll probably have to get from Chris, as well as our lead pages link. So one, you know, two of our two go-to tools And we had a gentleman earlier in the chat here in Facebook. So if you have any questions, make sure you put your comments. You can ask Mark and I questions in the Facebook comments. So a gentleman, I can't see who it was. Pit Alex asked, you know, how do I make easy sales pages, right? So that's leadpages.net, in my opinion. It's just really easy, really functional. We'll have Tim drop in a link there, but PhoneWagon is the second go-to deal. So for our clients, we use CallRail quite a bit because I think it's a little bit more robust than PhoneWagon, but it's also like starts at 4 times the cost. PhoneWagon starts at $25 a month. CallRail starts at $100 a month. So for you guys, I recommend PhoneWagon. We've actually, Chris, I think we've switched a lot of our clients over to PhoneWagon. And what it does is it's call tracking. But it's different than trying to track a call by pressing a button on RingCentral or Umail or whatever you're using on your phone. You can actually create a different number, and I think Mark would agree with me, with each one of your campaigns, you should have a different number so you can separate the conversions for each individual campaign. So if you've got that wine tour sales page tied to a wine tour campaign, that's phone number number one. But then if you're also doing those brewery tours, like let's just use San Diego again, you know, there's a bunch of breweries from Carlsbad to Mission Beach down into, you know, kind of, what's the name of the district down there? The Gaslamp District, right? So there's a bunch of breweries. So if you're doing brewery tours down there, you don't want to use the wine tour number. You don't want to use your general phone number. You want to use phone number number two inside of PhoneWagon. That way now when you get 10 calls to the winery tour sales page on click to call, PhoneWagon's tracking that. You get to listen to the recordings of each call. It's all through the phone number. It's tied to an individual campaign. Then you log back into your desktop or laptop or phone, and you see that you close 2 of those 10 phone calls. So now you know what your reservations are. As Mark said earlier, the Google call tracking is not that great. PhoneWagon gives you this extra level, makes it easier, so you can track your return on investment. Most of you are just looking at Google Analytics and or Lead Pages Analytics and or Facebook, you know, Clicks Analytics, and it's not telling the whole story. So you really need to have PhoneWagon. So if you're spending at least $250 to $300 a month on advertising, and most of you are probably spending at least $500 to $1,000, you must have PhoneWagon, in my opinion. You are not getting the whole scope of the return on your investment. And two, you don't know how good you or your sales reps or CSRs are at selling. And that's a whole nother component that you can use for training and also monitoring and coaching.
Perfect. Mark, you got about 2 minutes left. What core KPI should our customers focus on?
So I would focus on total number of conversions and cost per conversion. And what you want to see is you want to see your total number of conversions go up every month. And again, a conversion is a lead. So a conversion is a phone call. It's someone filling out a quote form. Those are really the two most important things, because you want to know how much money did I spend this month? How many leads did I get this month? And how much did I pay per lead? Which if you know the first two numbers, you know the third. And the goal is to spend as little as possible for these leads, because keep in mind, guys, we know we get a lot of tire kickers and a lot of people just checking prices, which that's just the nature of the industry, because you can call and get a price over the phone. And so therefore, you want to get these leads for as little money as possible, because you're not going to close 100% of them. And the lower your cost per lead, the lower your cost per client acquisition.
So Mark, I think that is really great stuff. What are a couple of KPIs that people should not be focusing on that you see them focusing on way too much?
Impressions, clicks, even click-through rate can be important. A lot of these additional metrics are for, unless you really understand what they mean, they're just vanity metrics. Clicks, you know, I had a client call me the other day, said, hey, I had 10,000 clicks in January. I only got 500 this month with you. What's right. going on? And I had to explain to him, I'm like, well, those 10,000 clicks you got for 20 cents each, those were all junk.
Right.
And so
They weren't valuable. Yep. I think that's great stuff, Mark. We got to wrap this up. We got about 22 seconds left. So guys, Mark, thank you. Sophia, thank you. This is episode 2 of the Paid Traffic Show. Next week, Tuesday's Christmas. Mark and Bill will be right back here on the 26th. We're going to push that a day back. We're going to be doing this on the 26th on Wednesday. So now, you can check this out at the Bill Faith YouTube channel, Limo University YouTube channel, and then go to any place that you listen to podcasts and just search for the Paid Traffic Show, whether it's on iTunes, whether it's on Stitcher, whether it's on Podcaster, and you can find this on all the podcasting channels. Until next Wednesday, Merry Christmas, everybody. Mark, thank you. Sophia, thank you. We'll see you guys next week.